In the room with me are a couple of our support staff who are helping us out today, but mostly just Sylvia and I will be speaking to you to cut down on the confusion, okay?
All right, thank you.
Also, just to make sure I know what happened today, because I have to, you know, tell Mateo, we are tape recording this conversation.
Oh.
Just so you know, well, yeah, I didn't want to make yourself feel self-conscious, but in California, the law requires that everyone involved in a phone conversation that's being taped, that everyone is informed that it's going on tape, okay?
All right.
Okay. I didn't want you to make feel self-conscious. Just so you know, both Sylvia and I think that we sound weird on the tape. So. Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, thank you very much for getting together with us today. I know this is a little bit awkward.
Well, wait a minute.
I know Mateo wants to speak with you, and hopefully he will be able to in the near future.
All right.
Okay. Well, I think first let's start out. We've got all your application materials, CV, et cetera. I think maybe the easiest way to do this, just to get the ball rolling, is why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? Why don't you tell us about your professional interests and the work you've done, you know, graduate work, postdoc work, et cetera.
All right. I'm from Canada, first of all. About 10 years ago, I started working on my master's degree in plant pathology. I'm not in plant epidemiology. Basically, that project is about to study the long-distance small transport of a very important disease in China. It's wheat stripe rust disease. And after getting the master, I came to the United States, came to Action Virginia Tech to work on my PhD. My PhD is about on the Cytophthora project. Basically, I have two equally important parts. The first part is trying to collect the Cytophthora isolate, especially in the Cushiani and the Salamami, from the commercial nursery in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part, after the sampling, we tested the fungicide sensitivity to two major chemicals, methylexa and Propamica.
Mm-hmm.
And I also did some fitness, like the competitiveness and the work on this part. And the second part of my project here is to use molecular marker to differentiate the population. I'm using the Cytophthora nicotiani as a marker.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Could you say that again?
I'm using Cytophthora nicotiani as a marker. I didn't do any molecular work on the Cynomomy. Cytophthora cynomomy. So basically, what I did is can we identify about 40% of the isolate I collect from the commercial nursery is highly resistant to methylexa. So we want to try to identify some markers which can be used to for the diagnostic purpose. So basically, I use the rapid and random antibiotic microsediment and to run through the population. I identify a few markers which are apparently associated to the methylexa resistance. So my next step is to set up the genetic cross to confirm the genetic linkage, because to this marker under the methylexa resistance locus. So basically, this is my PhD work, and I think during my stay at Dr. Horn's lab here, and I also participated in, there's a project about, investigating the creative ecology of Cytophthora species in and Resegni Irrigation Water.
Which phytophthora was that?
We are looking at all different species in the water, in the irrigation water.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. My professional interest here, I think, right now is, I'm very interested in studying the plant disease epidemiology since I first studied with epidemiology. And especially using molecular marker to study the, how disease is spread. And, I think that's pretty much.
Okay. You said you worked on metal axle. What was the other chemical?
Actually, the chemical is called methylaxone. It's a newer version of the methylaxone.
No, I'm familiar with metal axle. What was the other one you mentioned?
It's methylaxone.
Oh, it is. Oh.
It's same as the methylaxone. It's a newer. They call it. It's like axle. I don't know how to say it. It's a chemical which has different optical properties. They are newer version and more effective to, because methylaxone, you have, it's a mixture of two different chemicals.
Well, just so, optimally, what sort of, you're obviously looking for a postdoc position. What are you looking for professionally in a postdoc position?
Right now, I'm trying to, work on, trying to looking for some, to be honest, trying to looking for some communication, because the ultimate goal is trying to, get a faculty job in U.S., a research position. So I need some communication,
Okay. Well, I hadn't, actually, it's funny because I haven't discussed specifically this position with Mateo myself. That's just something I had not had a chance to do yet. But obviously, you've discussed this position with Mateo?
Yes. We have been in our email for a few times, I think.
Could you fill me in? How do you see, from your discussions with Mateo, what you see as your responsibilities in this position?
Well, Mateo told me this position is trying to study the epidemiology of southern gas pathogen.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to investigate the transmission mechanism, like the airborne, the waterborne, or the soil, right? So I think I have some experiences, in this, and I'm very interested, in this era. So, my responsibility, I think, is trying to, according to the, from what I read from the job description and our communication, I think it's trying to, first of all, it's trying to establish some, path, the first step, right?
Okay.
So it's going to be a lot of sampling, both in soil, the plant, the water, also the capture the airborne spores, mm-hmm. rangers in the air, and also it's trying to develop, the molecular assays to facilitate to track the variability of spores, to differentiate the different strains in the population. I think that's what I know now. But, this position is going to be.
Okay. Well, okay. So, in a nutshell, what sort of experimentation are you looking for over the next, say, year and 2 years? What do you anticipate you're going to be, you know, is this project going to entail for you?
You mean what kind of experiment?
Yeah, I was just thinking if you had formulated any ideas about, ideas about where you were, you know, what you were thinking about in terms of experiments. You know, I know Mateo, he likes people to hit the ground running, and I felt maybe you had some ideas already roughed out.
Yeah, I already have some of my ideas in the letter of intent I give to Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some idea about, yeah, how to set up the, you
right,
know, different, you know, the ignition mechanisms. For example, I already look at, you know, some of the literature regarding the sodium cadets, you know, when I read my letter of intent.
I see. I did read your letter of intent. There was one interesting controversy associated with that. I think there might have been a misunderstanding with the A1 and A2 as a trapping technique, you know, the two mating types. I noticed a back and forth between you and Mateo. Can you tell me just briefly what that was about? I kind of missed that. I think it might have just been a misunderstanding.
First of all, when I read my letter of intent, I'm trying to, you know, open my home again to capture the spores in the air. You know, when I look,
sure,
at the literature, some other, the video message, you know, they use, you know, like a half plied, you know, the fungus, and to trap, you know, to trap the other, you know, kind of the fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I tried to adapt that idea, you know, into this project. So at first I thought, perhaps I have two mating tabs in American major, you know, I2. So why not go ahead, you know, you know, I too, like you use a culture, or you colonize like a wood disc with, you know, with the atom mating pattern and put it in the nature and then try to travel the spores. You know, that sounds a good idea, but I didn't realize the American is not, first of all, the worm is, highly regulated pathogen, you know. So that is supposed to, you know, introduce another genotype into, you know,
right,
into nature. That's a very dangerous action, because if we put two mating types together, you know, the likelihood of mating, you know, is very high. So they will create some new, you know, your genotype, maybe, you know, cause more damage to the, you know, to the nature. That's illegal, you know, at least, you know. So when I read my letter of intent, I didn't think about, you know,
of course,
the consequences, you know. So
okay. Yes, I read that, and I just wanted to make sure I got your feelings on that clearly. Well, now I'm mostly on the practical side of these things. Part of my job is supporting people's research. Just anticipating, you know, what you talked about with Mateo, can you anticipate, you know, in a general way, what sorts of materials and equipment you might need to do your to do the work you're planning? Are there any ideas on that, just so I get thinking about it?
Yeah, first of all, I think. I think this work is going to need a lot of baiting, So I think it's baiting material. We need, like, you know, rhododendron leaves and maybe camellia leaves, or
mm-hmm.
if you get it from soil, maybe need the, or stream, it is the tire, and in terms of bathing. Also, in order to capture the spores, I think we need to design a spore trap, and maybe need some, you know, depends on, you know, at first I prefer to use, you know, the paper, like, you know, to trap the spores, and I think, first of all, and I think the other material is, you know, when we transport this sample back to lab, you know, we need all different kinds of, you know, medium prepared, all different kinds of PRP, especially, you know, probably on CNA or V8.
Great.
And later on, if, you know, I don't know about the boron, you know. If some of the other species may need to use, you know, the soil water track to induce the growth of sporangia, and later, in the next step, we try to geotype the population. I think we need some, you know, the PCR machine. If I forgot to ask you, I'm on the, is this what you're trying to ask me, or?
Oh, well, I just, you know, I'm, like I say, I'm more on the practical side of things, so just having an idea of what people feel they need is helpful to me. But let me ask you this. It sounds like, okay, obviously some field and laboratory work.
Yes, field work, I think we need, field work, you know, in terms of collecting the sample, I think we need that. Besides what I just mentioned, we need some, I don't know, but I can just organize some of this, and like, you know, we need a tribal problem for me to the, to, you know, to this forest bed, you know, to connect sample, and
okay,
we need to probably make it. Make a satellite GPS unit to record the coordinates.
Right. So you seem like a person who has both field and laboratories, sort of.
Yeah, I do lots of field work. To be honest, here right now my postage job here is going to be finished soon. It's mostly part. Almost 50% is field work.
Is field work?
Yeah.
So tell me, maybe you could relate what sort of experience you have at managing projects like this? Because I know one of the things that's important to Mateo is that people are able, that everyone is able to sort of manage effectively. So maybe you could give us some background, a little history on what your experience is with managing field projects.
Well, what I did here, for example, here, I'm responsible for my, you know, transgenic project. I made, you know, before experiment, I think for example, if I set up four experiments, first, make the protocol, you write down the protocol, detail what you're going to do, what you need, and actually specifically, you know, and then we put a different project, different experiment, especially, and then in different folders. So when the project is going on, we keep adding stuff. For example, you keep collecting data, and then basically, I think it's very, very big stuff. I don't know. And then, for example, when you get the data, and then you do statistical analysis, and then we normally summarize them, you need them, type in them, and then write down your results, and then we discuss with our So I think I understand we're putting, you know, I've experimented with, I do, I put in a...
Well, I was hoping maybe you could relate some success you've had in this area, like a project you've done before, in terms of organizational sorts of things. Can you speak to some experience in that way? Perhaps an example of some other project that you felt you were very good at managing. It's okay if you think about it as we go on. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, but if you think about things you want to talk about, I'm more interested, you know, I'm very interested oftentimes is talking with people and hearing about their own personal experience and what it is they feel has been successful about their work. So no worries. Okay, I'm taking up all the time here and not letting Sylvia have any fun. Let me, Sylvia and I can alternate a few here, a few sorts of questions. I know she has many things she wants to talk to you about.
Okay.
Yes, so I would like to talk more specifically about the molecular biology. Here in your resume, you write that you have experience in microsatellite marker identification. Can you tell me a little bit more about a project where you actually had to search for a microsatellite marker and genotype them, or in which species, perhaps?
The work I have done, you know, I used the microsatellite, as I indicated in the resume, it's not really, you know, the microsatellite number. They call it random and amplified microsatellite. So the primer we use, it's kind of like of, you know, it's rapid. So we use about, you know, a thousand primers. It's kind of, you know, we purchased from, you know, I think it's from University of Columbia in Canada. You know, they already, you know, have all this primers ready, you know, so basically we just, you know, run PCR and
which problem did you want to address with these microsatellite markers? I mean, which species were you working on, and which type of problem did you want to solve? Was it a population genetic study, or more differentiation between two species? Could you tell me a bit more?
You mean what's the purpose of, you know, I'm using this marker for?
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to, I screen all those, you know, markers, trying to find the markers, you know, apparently trying to find a marker to tag to, you know, that lacks some resistance, you know, that's what I'm, you know, looking for.
Okay. And you also mentioned that you can program in C++. Could you give me some examples of a situation when programming was useful to, I don't know, to analyze your data or to...
I think back to that's, you know, and then back to my master project, you know. When I was in China, that project is trying to, as I say, trying to study the non-distance war transportation.
Yeah.
In that lab, we're trying to, you know, build a model, you know, epidemiological model, trying to predict, you know, how the this force go, you know, and based on lots of information, like the different cultural, different races, you know, and like the, what the, including the weather data. I learned this programming at that time, you know, because we need to build a model. And then after that, it's when I come to the United States, I haven't used that, you know, the programming. I haven't programming very much because right now, all I did here in Virginia, at Virginia Tech for my PhD project, it has nothing to do with programming, you know. This project was, but involved a lot of statistical analysis. But I have a lot of experience in, you know, using programming itself because here we need to manage a very big, you know, amount of data here. So, in fact, you know, we can handle a lot of, you know, data here. So, I think I'm pretty good on the, you know, statistic analysis, using, you know, that stock programming. But the C++ program language, I have, you know, experience. I still can, you know, can write a program that's too short programming, which can, you know, sometimes, for example, here, we have a old, you know, like a microfluidic reader, and here, and very old, it's probably more than 10 years old, and we got from, you know, on campus, they didn't come with a software package, so every time when you read a 96 web page, and then you can print it out of the data, a lot of ways to download this data. So, during my first year here, you know, I just printed out and a lot of work, and then I suddenly realized my, you know, programming experience, you know, kind of, you know, can help me a lot. I can benefit from it. So I read a very short program here, and then I can download the data from the, you know, microfluidic reader. So
okay.
Sometimes it works.
I just want to come back to something Sylvia was on about a moment ago. We have some very good staff here in our laboratory who work, you know, all day on PCR and sequencing and fragment analysis. And one of the things that, you know, our postdocs are often called upon to support is the idea of optimizing existing PCR protocols or designing or, you know, implementing new types of protocols for analysis. I just wonder if you could speak to any experience there. We have some good experience here in the lab, but of course, this is the kind of thing that really can save a lot of time and money. Can you speak to some ideas or experience there?
You mean about the PCR protocol?
PCR optimization.
Optimization. Well, I wrote, you know, I have, you know, very recently, you know, I started running PCR when I did my, you know, during my PhD studies. So, basically, you know, the optimization of, you know, of a PCR product existing, I don't have that experience, to be honest.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I just think.
Well, we're very fortunate here that we use real-time PCR as well, which is quite valuable, and we're very fortunate to have some very good staff to run that equipment. I did want to also go back because, you know, population genetics is not exactly my area, there are some I think some very distinct population genetics questions that are associated with this project, and some of that relates to microsatellites, and I wasn't quite sure I understood exactly what your experience with microsatellites were. Could you just tell me what your background experience is with MicroSats?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm very interested in, I'm very interested in population genetics. I actually have a third credit course in population genetics during my PhD. I also have a third credit course on planet genomics, the one thing. And during both courses, I was talking about a lot, you know, using, you know, MicroSat map to study, you know, to differentiate the population, you know.
Right.
And I think that in terms of matter sediment, I think matter sediment is you know, is a very useful marker to study the population because it's neutral.
Right.
Normally you can get a lot of mutation accumulating with that. It's highly polymorphic, so that's why a lot of studies use microsediment.
Right.
So, microsediment, in terms of what is microsediment, I think it is, you know, it's a repeat of like a 10 nucleotide or 3-4 nucleotide, you know.
Mm.
So we're trying to design primary searching for the whole genome of the species you are studying on, and then trying to design parameters to amplify, you know, this region, which is polymorphic.
Well, you know, looking at like population genetics, you know, looking at, say, inbreeding coefficient like FIS or FST, you know, sometimes I find that people, I talk about maybe microsatellites would be useful in that respect, and people roll their eyes at me. I'm just curious, you know, I think there, in some respects, some of that population genetics work, there are people who are moving beyond microsatellites, and I'm just curious about your view on that, you know, looking at what sorts of, you know, areas would you recommend that would be beyond microsatellites where we'd be thinking for the future?
Beyond microsatellites.
Well, I was thinking of, you know, sometimes microsatellites may not be sophisticated enough markers for, you know, subpopulations, subgroups of pathogens, which is something we have here. And, you know, what... I'm sort of at a loss. I'm learning this myself, so I'm just curious if you have any ideas about, you know, functional genes, that sort of thing.
There's some, you know, probably bias, you know, associated with micro sediment markers, you know, and but I think in terms of which direction. I think there's some other markers available, but I'm not sure. You know, I've met the AFLP that can single nucleotide polymorphism, but I'm not sure. You know, those markers would be, you know, more. It's better than microsatellite. Probably in terms of in different species, you know, different kind of population you're working on. Maybe different market systems have more, you know, sensitivity in terms of, you know. But I think I would say I would try maybe, you know, in addition to microsatellite, AFLP or SNP.
Okay.
What do you think about two very important things of working in a laboratory? What about working team? What do you think about? Do you have good experience with working with other colleagues, divide the jobs, and then also for your, when you have your data collected, have you experience in actually writing the paper? I read the two papers you published in 2008, and did you actually wrote the paper yourself? Are you familiar and confident with this? because this as a postdoc will be something that you will have to do, write a grant and the papers. How do you feel about this?
Well, I think my experience, you know, so far with, you know, my PhD and rather in my current job, and we manage our project with our staff, both, you know, including the study of the grammar and the collecting data, getting the data NMS, and the writing the report first, and then eventually writing a manuscript. Most of the time, I write by myself. Well, of course, we have to, you know, have to discuss some idea with, you know, my supervisor, you know. And back in, normally, my two paper, super published, we have a lot of discussion, you know, about that. But I read it all this by myself, you know. The way my previous advisor is, you know, when you write something and then you give to then let him read it and then he just, you know, give you some idea, all right, this is you are on the right track or not. If you're not, and then you come back and you read it again. So I think I have a lot of writing strength. I also like to write, you know, writing, you know.
Very good.
Matteo specifically asked about inoculation experiments. I'm not sure how this relates exactly to what you discussed with Matteo, but he asked me to specifically talk about, we do a great deal of inoculating of tissue and culturing from tissue, and he wanted me to make sure I asked you what sort of experiences you have there and what sort of things you have to offer there.
All right. I have a lot of experience on the inoculation. And here, I used to inoculate, you know, the looping kidney. We use the looping kidney to assess the risk for production, also to assess the competitiveness of the strain. And I have, normally we did two. One is we use, you know, the zoospore suspension, and you prepare zoospore suspension and then inoculate.
What organism was that in?
I'm sorry?
What organism was that? You said you work with zoospore suspension?
That's a Cetacean cruciani.
And what was the host there?
It's lupin.
Lupins?
Yeah, lupin. It's a legume, which looping is widely used to, you know, as a bait to trap a lot of the species, you know. It's a very susceptible to, like, you know, Cinnamomi and Cushiani. Actually, it's very susceptible to a variety of phytophthora species. So, I also use the geranium, which is another, you know, geranium to inoculate, you know, the mixture, the trend. When I assess the patent, it's different strength. And I remember the first I used, you know, the Aga plug as a lockdown.
Right.
It's very hard to, you know, control the amount of the lockdown you put on the knee or stand, you know. But if you use, you know, those sorts of thinking, you can, you know exactly how much, you know, you put out, you can on the leaf.
Well, we've had obviously very similar problems. So, also, we work with, you know, we have staff here, we have graduate students, we also have undergraduates we work with. Have you worked with a wide variety of, you know, like staff at different levels?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we have also have a poster in the lab, you know. Most of the time, you know, like, at the time when I did my PhD, you know, they have a lot, some postdocs are working on the project. The project is pretty, you know, labor intensive. They need a lot of help from other lab members.
Mm-hmm.
So we you know, when they, for example, especially when they, you know, collecting just, you know, bait from the field and come back to lab, they have a huge amount of plating work, you know.
Right.
We help each other, you know.
Right. And so can you relate to maybe a specific example of your leadership, your ability to work with, you know, get people to work in teams?
I think most of all, the other members of the project, you know, when they need to have, they, and they would volunteer to us.
Yeah.
Help, you know. My project, most of the time, I work on my project by myself. Working not here, the project here, working on the transgenic project, peanut project here. We have a lot of other stuff, make, you know, most of the stuff, they can help you, you know, harvesting the peanuts, you know, they can help you, most of all, first, you know, here, the way how here is working, you know, I let them know, you know, apply ahead. I let them know what kind of help I need from them. I tell them, you know, maybe a day or 2 days before, and then let them know first. And then if they can, you know, have time to, you know, we can negotiate, you know, how they have time, you know, to help me or not, you know.
You mentioned GPS earlier. I have just a couple more practical kinds of things I want to ask you. Do you have any experience with GIS work or working with, you know, we do a lot of sampling and then we have to relate it all to a map. And so I'm only reasonably skilled with GIS. I wouldn't consider myself anywhere near an expert or even terribly proficient. But do you have experience with GIS or integrating GPS into your research?
Well, actually, no. Well, there, you know, I don't have that exactly. I don't have that experience. But that's one aspect I'm very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very helpful in the GIS. Actually, a lot of research has been now, especially, you know, if you just fail to study, you just study this in a very, on a very bigger scale, some of those diseases. And GIS sometimes help us enough. But I'm comfortable, you know, I'm very good at, you know, at the computing, the software, all
mm-hmm.
this kind of, you know, because I'm very familiar with, you know, sometimes in computer, you know, a lot of the principle sometimes is, you know, it's very similar. So I think it should be not that difficult to learn. You know, I attempt to learn, you know, how GPS works for myself, but I haven't sorted it out in a computer. You know, I just right now, what I can tell you is I didn't use GIS to do any type of research, you know, I didn't use it, you know.
Okay. And I did notice somewhere in one of these things or emails to Matteo, you said that you do, we do operate a number of vehicles, nothing too heavy, but we do, you know, California's kind of a big place and we do drive around. You are comfortable with operating vehicles?
Well, I drive a lot, almost, you know, every day here, you know, it's a routine here.
Right.
Especially, you know, when we go out, we have a lot of clubs here, you know, next, we have two clubs, you know, in North Carolina, you know, one club that, you know, here we have, right now, the place I'm working is also a research, you know, extension.
Yes.
Like a research extension center. We have every lab have a leg of 3 or 4 trucks, you know, so, you know, we go to our field club. Normally the field club is about probably at least 5 miles away from, you know, our station, so normally we go there and, you know, we drive our vehicle, you know, over there, you know, we actually travel a lot, you know.
Oh, good, okay. Well, there's one, I also wanted to check, I'm not sure exactly how the university handles this. But we always have to be concerned about visa status to make sure that we can properly hire the person on the correct visa.
Yeah.
Can you share with me your current visa status or what you're eligible for?
Currently, I'm H-1B visa.
I'm sorry, H-1B?
H-1B.
Ah, very good, okay.
Yeah, I already have that one. It seems to me this type of visa, you can extend it when you change
the job. Right. Well, it's been my experience that the sooner we do those kinds of things, the better it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think that pretty much, I've gotten through most of my questions. Sylvia, do you have anything else?
And you intend to remain on an H-1B? Or better?
No, actually, I'm in the process of trying to apply for a green card. Because I've already been in the United States for 5 years. I think it's time to start that process. I think it's... but I do it by myself, you know. I have some, you know, friends that, you know, just working in California. They were already, you know,
Because I'm also not a U.S. citizen, and the university offered me an H-2. So, I mean, you intend to you would like to stay on an H-1B?
I never heard about an H-2, I'm sorry. What is an H-2 about?
Or J-2 something, but not an H-1B.
Yes, I'm a J-1.
J-1
is that's for the visiting scholar, you know, I'm not
Okay.
I have a couple of friends that is on J-1.
Okay. Well, that seems relatively secure, which is good. Okay. Well, I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to get through, but I wanted to give you a chance to ask us questions. Is there anything we can answer for you?
Well, I don't know anything about you guys.
Oh, no, we're completely at your disposal. Is there anything we can tell you about Berkeley or tell you about the university or our lecture?
How about, you know, the apartment or the living, you know?
Housing here is expensive and sometimes difficult to find. It depends on the time of year that you arrive. But most people use Craigslist. Are you familiar with Craigslist?
Craigslist.
Yes, Craigslist.org, I think it is, right?
Yeah.
And if you go to the San Francisco Bay Area section, you can look right now and see what's available.
All right.
So, you want to add to that?
No, it's, I mean, you can, to work here in this university, you can live here in Berkeley or in the next 3 or 4 small towns, or you can also live in San Francisco, and the commuting is not too bad. We have here one of our colleagues, and she lives in San Francisco, and she's quite happy. And so, I mean, you will find somewhere to live.
Yes, right. It's expensive, but... Yeah. It's a big metropolitan area.
You can choose if you want to live in San Francisco or in a smaller town or in Berkeley itself, but everywhere is expensive.
Somewhat expensive, yeah.
There's no way out.
But you can see if you go to Craigslist.org and you search the San Francisco Bay Area for housing, you should be able to find, you get an idea of what's available.
The entire area is expensive, not only the rent.
Right.
So
right.
It's
I understand that. I heard about that. Yeah.
Pretty much everything is expensive. I don't know how it is where you're living now, but...
Right now in Virginia, right now the here is I think compared to the California, it should be much cheaper. You know?
Yes, I would think so.
Yes.
I suspect so, yeah. So is there anything else we can help you with?
I think another question about, you know, if you instead of working in lab, for example, every year, do you have a specific requirement about, you know, how many manuscripts you have to write in order to, you know...
Well, Mateo, of course, would answer that best, and I think he would say, whatever infinity minus one is, that's how many he'd like you to publish each year.
That's about right. All right.
No, I think, I must say, one of the things about our lab is it's been highly productive.
Yeah.
Matteo put out, I think, 8 or 9 publications, or maybe he was 10 last year himself with other people. So, it's pretty competitive, and writing is a big part of it. And that certainly is at his forefront, although I have found Matteo very reasonable about it. He doesn't expect you to write manuscripts any faster than he does, but he does it pretty fast. So
this is also why we were discussing about organizing the work, the field work, the lab work, because you have to organize in a way that at some point will lead you to a manuscript, let's say, I guess, at the end of the first year it has to.
Right.
So you have to kind of also divide your work in a way which can be published in a good paper.
Sure. And likewise, I think the majority of people in the laboratory, including the staff, are expected to contribute in whatever capacity they have to grant writing as well.
All right.
And then about usually twice a year, we have an internal lab symposium where everyone presents their research to the group so that everyone is familiar with their research. It's fast-paced for sure, but I think that we have a very good group of people here who work very well together, and, I think we're very fortunate in that respect.
Yeah. I also noticed a place which is highly productive, and that's what happened to me, It pressured me sometimes to write, get more productive. That's what would be good.
Right. Infinity minus one. I think that's the formula. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Well, I don't know. That's the only interview I have, or
I'm not certain. I'm going to convey. Sylvia and I will discuss our feelings about this, our findings here in the interview. We'll convey this information to Matteo, and I suspect he'll want to talk to you directly. I mean, I think he's just using us to ask many of the sorts of basic questions, and he'll want to speak more specifically with you about the the particulars of the project. He is, at the moment, he's in French Polynesia, and there are some difficulties with communications there, but, he certainly is available by email at all times.
Yeah, all right.
Okay?
All right.
Okay, very good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for talking to us, sir.
Thank you for interviewing me.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, let's make sure this is off.